Blog Talk Radio.
Black Satin Radio. BSR. Welcome to Poetic Conversation. those on the line right now, welcome to Poetic Conversations. This is not the voice that you normally would hear at this time. This is the Devin Smith. I came in and I took over like I always do. Not for real. History asked me to, you know, get her back while she handles some business. So what we're going to do, we're going to go ahead and start the show right now. I was going to wait for her to call in, but it's getting way past the time. It's getting a little bit late in the hour. And we got people on the line, so we just go ahead and kick it. I don't know what the topic is, so please forgive me for not chiming in on the topic. Or if you want got something on your chest and you want to get it off, now is the perfect time for you to get it off. First person is on the line. It's 937-205. If you want to get in on the conversation, or you want to say something, want to spit a piece, you want to get something off your chest, press that number one button so I know that you want to say something, and I'll pull you in. But in between time, the meantime, I'm going to spin another track. And as soon as Mr. come in, we're going to pull her in. So that's what's going on right now. Is we're waiting for the host, y'all host to come in. Like I said before, you're on the line with D. Kevin Smith. You want to ask me something, want to know how we do what we do. You know, I'm one half of Infinity along with Mystery. Or you want to talk, you want to spit, you know, you want to do whatever. You want to get in on the conversation. If not, you know, keep listening to my horrible selection in music because this is all I got to deal with. So, sit out for a second. Mystery and Satori will be on in just a minute, and we'll be right back after this music break.
Talk about the goodness of your heart. Now it seems a myth that never existed, and it leaves me feeling empty. With this hollow call, when I
all y'all old schoolers out there, y'all know that was Regina Bell, Make It Like It Was. But we back, you know, the topic for this evening or tonight was supposed to be who do you go with in love, the one that you love or the one that loves you? That's an interesting question. And I really don't think y'all out there would want my answer on that. But my take on the whole thing is, I'm going to be honest. I usually go with, I'm a selfish individual, so I usually think I'm centered around what I want. So I am the center of my universe, so it's usually the one that I love. And consequently, my choices are always bad, you know, very impulsive and always bad. So being honest on the topic and the topic, and I usually go with the one that I love as opposed to the one that loves me. Because the one that loves me, quite often, they allow me to do whatever it is that I want. And then in a relationship like that, it tends to get bored. And with boredom, other things happen. So, and the one that I love is usually a hard, a very, very hard sell. I don't want to say sell, but necessarily, but it's a hard, nothing's in it. Nothing in that type of relationship is easy. So it's never boring. There's a lot of chasing involved, and there's a lot of walking on eggshells or whatnot, but it's never boring. So that's the type of relationships I like, to never be bored, and I don't like to take advantage of the situation by kind of being with somebody that's going to cater to me and give me everything that I want, let me do what I want to do, like be with a yes woman. That's not what I'm in a relationship for. I'm in a relationship to get 50-50. But on the other end of the spectrum, I tend to give more in my relationship, and that's not often a good thing, but it never keeps me bored. It keeps me on my toes, and that's what I tend to go with. So, you know, I like to definitely hear from anybody else on the line, or if that would like to chime in on the topic, whatever it being, it's not a hard question, you know. And if not, y'all can just chill out and listen to some more music. But y'all know this is a talk show, and you call in to conversations poetically. So if you got a piece, you're a poet, you want to spit on the topic, you want to talk about the topic, please press the number one button so I know that you want to talk. If not, I know that you're just a listener and you're listening in, but I know you're not wise to who's hosting right now, and you don't know who's hosting right now. And I will tend to pull you in if you want to say, if you don't want to say nothing, or just to talk to you, because sometimes it feels like I'm talking to myself, even though I'm talking to the mic, and I'm broadcast over to millions and millions of people out there over the internet. But if no one is interacting with me on this thing right here, then it seems like if I'm talking to myself. But still, like I said before, that was my take on the topic of love the one that loves you, love the one that loves you, or you go with the one that loves yourself. So we're going to be right back after this break. We got Lauryn Hill. Everything is everything.
Yo, we about to step right.
I'm
apostrophe, possibly become drums after sending young street Baptist, Baptist and violin it from the beginning. My practice extending across the atlas. I be at this, flipping in together on the dirty mattress. You can't match this, rapper slash actress, more powerful than two Cleopatra. Bomb graffiti on the tomb of Nefertiti. MCs ain't ready to take it to the Serengeti. My rhymes is heavy like the mind of Sister Betty. El Boogie spars with stars and constellations. Then came down for a little conversation. Adjacent to the king, fear no human being. Roll with cherubims to Nassau Coliseum. Now hear this mixture where hip hop meets scripture. Develop a negative into a positive pick.
Now everything is everything.
Sometimes it seems
we'll touch that dream.
We'll touch that dream.
But things come slow and not at all.
They come slow,
darling. And the ones on top, won't make it die. So convinced this day might fall.
Let's love ourselves and we can't fail.
To make a better situation.
Welcome to Poetic Conversations with Mystery and Satori. We want to welcome you to the show tonight. So we have a conversation we're going to talk about. It's going to be about should you choose him, the one that loves you, or should you choose the one you love? So we're going to talk about this tonight, and also we're going to enjoy your poetic pieces. We hope that you bring your hottest pieces with you, and I hope that everybody had a great weekend. You know, my weekend was so fulfilling. I was actually at a poetry event in Dayton, Ohio, which I performed like three different pieces. I had like pieces.
You're coming in for our show, and we've already started the topic, and basically we've been talking about love the one who you love or go with the one that loves you. So you're kind of interrupting our flow. So can you please chime in on the topic? Yeah. Who do you love? Do you love the one that loves you, or do you go with the one that you love?
Well, if it was for me, I would basically want to love me, I think. What about you?
I've already said it. I said that I would go with the one that I love.
You would do what?
I would go with the one that I love.
Okay, and why?
because I'm a selfish person, and then I spoke to it earlier to all the callers that was on the line that was just listening to me. I spoke to it and saying that, you know, usually the person that loves me, they. As you know, well, no, for it in that relationship because I want. And then there's a lot of people out there saying, wow, that's the kind of relationship that I want, you know. that I always can constantly get what I want. But in those relationships, I tend to get bored because it becomes predictable and I can do whatever it is that I want to do. Versus the other type of relationship, whereas it's a lot of chasing and it's a lot of discovery. So I'm never bored in a relationship. So it constantly keeps me entertained, per se. And that's why I tend to go with the other type of relationship, for the latter, as opposed to the former. But and I also said that going or pursuing that type of relationship also leads me to disaster 100% of the time.
Why do you say that? Because you picked the one that selfishly you love, right?
Come on. You're a witness.
Well, I mean, it's true. You know, I think that sometimes love is at a constant. So, of course, you know what I think about that. Love is at a constant. So you can be in a loving relationship, but everybody's love does not happen at the same time, nor is it at the same high. So everybody's love is different. So you can be in a relationship where you grow to love. You can also be in a relationship where it's love at first sight. You can also be in a relationship where there's lust and there's really not love. It just develops into love after the relationship is developed. But I think the hard part is understanding that we can't put everybody on a timeline. I think that's the difficult part about it because, you know, when you're choosing the one that you love or the one that loves you, it's a choice to where what do we need to do to get to the next level? But nobody asked this, I'm sure. What will happen if you choose the one that you love and they don't return it back? Or what if you are loving someone and, you're loving them wholeheartedly, they're returning love, but it's not to the same degree that you're giving. That's where the challenge comes in. Because it's like, well, you know, I don't feel that you care. Some people I've heard, you know, your level of love doesn't match my particular desire. I want you to cater to me, or I want you to love me to a higher dimension than what I feel like you're doing based upon my experience and, you know, past experience is normally our point of reference. So we're basing up how somebody feels about us based upon if it's the same dynamic or if it's a different dynamic. But we have to be willing to be open to understanding that everybody's love is different. And I think that it's a challenge for any of us, even if we pick the one that we love.
Yeah, what you said.
No, but I'm saying, though, you know, it's just
that was real politically correct. Let's act as if we were on the radio right now.
You said because I'm on the radio, is this a politically correct answer? Not really. I mean, I would even say this, even if even in my private in my private life, I would say this, because I feel like, you know, we expect others to feel the same, and that's not always the case. You know what I'm saying? I think, like, people, we want everybody to be on the same page. Once we feel a certain way, I know for me, at least in my past, I know for me when I got to a certain level of loving someone, so by doing so, I would definitely manipulate my means of telling the person that I love them to get them to say it back, to receive the love that I felt that they should have because I'm where I am in my loving feelings. So I expected the love to be the same. But, of course, that's unrealistic when you really look at the way love happens. It's usually a growth. But now, not to say that the attraction isn't there originally. You can be very attracted to someone physically. You can be sexually compatible. You can be intimately great with each other. But if you're not on the same page as far as love interest, it can be definitely a challenge because one person may be deeply and head over heels. The other might be, well, you know, I mean, we're cool, but I'm not trying to be in a relationship. I mean, so then you have this other dynamic where now you're trying to figure out, well, what are we doing now? I want to know. I want some answers. And that seems to be where a lot of times the lack of patience comes in because we don't really have the patience to wait for somebody to catch up to where we are. Just my opinion. At least for me, that's my opinion in my past. I know it was difficult for me to have to wait for somebody to catch up to the feelings I was at. But again, you know, that comes from like a selfish space.
Yeah, go ahead.
Can you hear me? Can you hear what I said?
No.
No, I was saying that if you feel a lack of love or if you have a lack of patience with the person's relationship status with you, then it's like, you know, you have this elevation of wanting to be in a relationship with that person. But the other person may not be there yet. They may be on something else or they may have something distracting them from really, you know, feet first or, as you would say, head first in the relationship. So because of that, there is a situation where we're like, okay, what do we need to deem necessary? Because of the fact that in a relationship with someone, how do we get past the fact that it is difficult or it's a challenge because my feelings are somewhere above the clouds and you aren't even on the stepladder yet. So basically it's just a challenge. I think when you're really in that space of wanting to elevate your love interest to the next level. And so that there poses the issue of, well, my lack of patience is now what's causing the headache because I want to get answers and I want them now.
Well, you just like removing expectations, though, you know. That was one thing that I learned, just remove expectations on and just go with the here and the now. You feel me? And
right.
That helps. But I was saying before I got cut off was that you gave a pretty PC answer, you know, as if you knew the cameras was rolling and the tape was going. You feel me? So you wanted to give the perfect answer. So imagine if we was all friends here, you know, and give your answer. But we already know where you rooted in and what you based in, what your experiences is. Well, what your knowledge or what you're saying right now is based in your experience. So,
right.
You see, you're actually speaking true. Other people out there might be thinking, giving a politically correct answer because the lights are on and the camera is rolling. But so how has impulse dictated your experiences in the past? Like, how has acting on impulse actually created the person in relationships as far as how you seek after relationships? How has choosing a partner based on impulse dictated the person that we hear on the radio right now?
Well, I mean, for me, I think a lot of times in that position, you know, you're implementing a plan because you're basing everything off of how you feel. So you don't see any other side, nor are you taking into consideration anybody else's side. So anytime I was trying to or felt that I had the loving feeling or the emotional ties that I wanted to go to the next level with that person, what I ended up doing is I implemented this desire to do that. So I would go and start, I'm seeking to hear the same response that I've given because that's what I really wanted. So I thought. So what I would do is I would implement this, you know, it was like my profession of love was to receive back the same or to get a clarity on if they felt the same or not. So I thought, well, if I tell them how I feel, then it'll be returned in abundance. And 9 times out of 10, it was returned, but it wasn't returned in abundance. And I don't believe personally that they were even where I was at the time. So therefore, I was almost strong-arming someone to make the same decision, guarded anybody else's concerns or feelings at the time. So I was like, you know, if I tell him that, I'm going to strong-arm him to say the same. And so, and they would return the favor, but that's just because I feel like it was, you know, obligatory. It was an obligatory response, and it was like, you know, if I say, you know, if he went out on a limb and said all that, you know, the least I could do is respond back and give her at least a positive reinforcement. It doesn't necessarily mean that's where I'm at, but, you know, I don't have a problem with at least trying it. So that's why I think, you know, the out of all of that position where I wasn't really receiving authentic love. That's what I was saying earlier. Like, you know, you want to have an authentic relationship or authentic love where the person is caring for you deeply and their care for you is not based upon you caring for them, but just because of where they're coming from on their own, not based upon, oh, you feel this way, so let me match it. It's not the way it should be.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Right now, 97205 finally got their hands up. So we're going to pull them in onto the conversation. So,
okay.
Hello.
Hello, Amy. How are you?
Okay. You know my number.
I know your number. How are you, sis?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing wonderful. Can't complain. How was your weekend?
It was very peaceful. Thank you.
Okay.
Yes, it was peaceful.
All right. Uh-huh. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about this hot topic. Of course, this is one that is kind of, I guess it's one that I guess many don't want to have to make a decision. But if this ever came up, who would you choose? Would you choose the one you love or the one that loves you? And why?
If I had to choose, I would pick the one that loves me.
Okay. And why?
Yeah. Well, because you could love is just not, I mean, it's a very simple, but it's very complex. You can love and it not be returned, and then you mm-hmm. feel like, you know, let down. But then, I mean, if the person loves you and it's not reciprocated, like you don't feel that way about them, it's a catch. Yeah, you know, it's just like a catch 20. Is that what it's 22 or 21?
Right, exactly. I agree with
yeah.
you. Definitely.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, that's a tough decision, honestly.
It is.
But I really would pick, I think I would pick the person that loves me because, you know, if we're talking about love and we are in love and
mm-hmm.
It's a mutual thing, I would definitely pick someone who loves me because they are going to, you know, that's going to be, your love is going to be, you know, matched, reciprocated. So that's basically, it's just a simple, I don't want to make it really, I don't want to go to the complex part of it. I just think, just keep it simple. Keep it simple.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's cool that you mentioned this way because, like you said, if it's truly love, what I'm hearing from your answer is that you're giving an allowance of allowing yourself to reach the higher height of enjoying someone loving you rather than getting absorbed in loving someone else and then waiting on them to catch up. at least you know this person authentically has feelings for you. So now you can now just, you know, no longer be rooted in the unknown. I don't know if he loves me or not. This way you know, and so now you can allow your feelings to grow accordingly, which is a good way to look at it.
Right. It's like a never-ending, dauntless path to be searching for love, and
right,
you know, just out there, like, just let it be organic. It will happen, and then, but yeah, if I had to choose, it would be. Yep. You described it exactly. What I meant.
What do you think, Kev? You think, I know you said the one you love, but what do you think about Amy's decision on her idea with the one that loves her?
You know, we are different. I think both of y'all have real good reasoning for why y'all do what y'all do, but I believe that, you know, even though I'll go after the one that end up losing me, you already know what happened. I'm a
Aquarius
horse, and the horse gets bored. Once the horse feels like it, it's either getting caged or bored, he starts on his own, regardless of the amenities in his own school. So, the ones that tend to love me or are involved in relationships where they love me like that, if the attraction isn't like super head on, all over heels, like she's like super, it meets my expectations and my requirements on a physical and mental level, then I'm
right.
Just going to end getting bored. So for me, I tend to go after the one that I love because I need to satisfy, I feel like I need to satisfy my own needs before I settle for anything
mm-hmm.
else. I know what I want. Above
mm-hmm.
them, beyond
I think
all
it's like that age-old saying, you know, that it's like a masculine and feminine thing.
Right.
What you're describing. That's what I'm hearing. You know, you're going to go after what, you know, and get what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And women typically are not the aggressive ones. We're not the testosterone.
Right.
Contrary to not so fast, my friend. Not so fast. Because my last couple, I've been the one that's been propositioned. So women are like that, and these are not older women that do this. These are younger women that come out. I'm saying, you know, sometimes if you sit back and you're content, understanding and going after what it is that you want, sometimes God or the God of your understanding will conspire with the universe to bring these forces or these people into your vibe because you putting out or you radiating this certain vibe, which you can be hooked up to sensitive machines, which you have been hooked up to sensitive machines if you go to the hospital and EKG, heart monitors, all that, they register a vibe. And that vibe is what radiates out. And there's another man or woman out there that's on the same vibe as you. You are just not in the same place, in the same spectrum as this person because you are not on that vibe. Once you get on that vibe, you will begin to attract them.
Very good.
By getting in that vibe starts with you understanding who you are and what it is that you want.
Okay, I do agree with that.
Powerful, Kev. Powerful. I love that, the way that you brought that up, because a lot of people mistake that. And I think, you know, one of the things that you even brought my awareness up about was that, you know, there can be men with feminine energy and women with masculine energy. And I thought, well, I never thought about that. And so you brought it to my attention, which is hugely impressive, because you can be a woman, but yet you can have masculine energy.
Yeah, but it's a part of knowing what energy you are and mm-hmm. embracing that energy so you can exist by yourself in polarity, as in the yin and the yang, the masculine and the feminine. Because some people out there don't even know what the yin and yang. They say, holler yin and yang, hey, holler yin and yang all the time, but they don't even really understand what the symbol represents, the tiger and the dragon, which is feminine and masculine energy living in harmony. So on a personal level, we all have, we have a certain amount of both energies inside of us. One is usually dominant over the other, but it's a struggle, and life is a struggle to balance. That's why we talk a lot about balance. It's a struggle in life to balance both so you can have a healthy amount of both, masculine and. But if you exude a certain energy, like I exude more feminine than I do masculine, therefore I attract more. So being in balance, I attract more women that are half masculine. So if you know, like tomboy women, if you grew up a tomboy, you have masculine energy. I'm not saying that you're supposed to be liking women or anything like that. No. You have masculine energy. When you come in balance with your masculine energy, you're bossy. Hey, that's just your nature. You get with a man that has feminine energy that tends to like to be dominated, i.e. like myself, you know, there is your polarity. There you exist in harmony. Because I will let you open the door for me. I will let you order my food at dinner time because I don't care. Mostly, a masculine man for a masculine woman is nothing but conflict because there's a battle for control over the relationship because two masculine energies are combatants for leadership. So if this is your problem, then you gotta understand that you're probably a woman with masculine energy, or you're probably a man with masculine energy that's drawing masculine, drawing the opposite. Therefore, you're not existing in a healthy polarity or even a good duality, because duality is, you know, basically about the same thing. Because you can be with a masculine. And you still be a healthy duality there because the other person is content within themselves and know when to take the bow back, take a step down, because that's what the relationship is about. But anyway, I don't want to get too complex with you guys. But that's just basically what it is. The yin and the yang, just being in harmony with the masculine and feminine aspects of yourself and knowing which one leads. Like I said, I mean, you know, this is radio, so everybody can hear me and know my name, because I said my name before. If I have more fat and I have more feminine energy than I do masculine energy, but my energies are in balance. So I can look to a certain person as if I'm more masculine than I am feminine. But I know in a relationship, I tend to let the woman lead in everything. And I attract women that tend to want to lead. So it's a healthy balance in my relationship. Now, where I suck at a different department. It's not that. I suck at a different department. It's sustaining a relationship. That's where I suck at. And I'm not going to go into detail.
But it's true, though. I mean, we need to understand our energy, but I think sometimes we don't really know how to assess what type of energy we have. So what would be a way of knowing what kind of energy we carry, Jeff?
Okay, so you want to know how did I figure out that I had a lot of feminine energy, right? You want to know how I can do that? Okay. Bitch a lot. Yeah, that's it. I noticed I was bitching a lot.
I thought you were going to say something else. That's hilarious.
Oh, it's nothing. There was nothing intricate about it. I just found myself bitching a lot. I was like, wow, Kevin, you bitch a lot. So while I was doing my meditation and stuff like that, and then I was coming. This was in 2012, because basically I told you. Just by the time that I came into my enlightenment or knowledge level, which was around 2012. And during that time, that's when I was taking in a personal inventory of myself But then I just like, you bitch at everything. Like, what is your problem? You're like, that's not a masculine trait. That's actually a feminine trait. I'm sorry, no, this is feminine trait. That's feminine than masculine. But let me go back to love. So I'm all in my feelings and I'm all in my emotions. I'm emotion driven. You know, so I'm exuding more feminine energy than I am masculine energy. So it's about harnessing or bringing that into balance. Like, okay, I walk in this reality as a man. So my masculine energy has to be my facade, my mask. So I'm bringing that up. So as I walk the street, I'm walking in my masculine energy. So that is how I had to, I know I was lacking in that, so I had to bring that up. So I brought that up to a certain level to mask my feminine energy. So now as I don't bitch as much, but now it's like personal inside bitching and reflection. That's a technical term, bitching and reflection. You know, that's when you think about all your bitching before you actually let it come out your mouth. I do have mishaps, though. You know, sometimes I just let the bitch come out. Well, that's not a good term. Sometimes I complain a lot, and the complaining person comes out, and, you know, and usually it's too late. I just fucked. I just messed everything up, and then it's about apologizing because I apologize to the people that deserve it. But anyhow, anyway, it's about keeping it in balance. And then, you know, I just noticed myself was I was complaining a lot about things that didn't deserve me to complain about.
No, I get it. That's true. I agree. Well, there has been so many people that try to get in relationships, Kevin. I think that you think just because you're a male or female, you don't carry the opposite energy. And sometimes this is vital information that might be beneficial to educating your kids with, knowing yourself first so you know what to look for in a potential partner. And energy, knowing if you're masculine or a feminine energy, would be hugely impactful and definitely hugely beneficial to know in advance.
Oh, yeah. It is, because we know a lot about astrology. We don't really look at our personal energy, our chi, our ka, or whatever religion you're in. You know, you don't look at your spirit. You tend to look at superficial things, and that's how we define ourselves, you know, our car, our muscles, our clothes. This is how we define ourselves, but that's a nurture thing. That's what society tells us, defines sexuality or defines beauty. It's things. Things you put on your face, things you put, you know, in your body or whatever. That doesn't really define your attraction, you know, because there was a time where I was playing basketball. I just came off the basketball court, and I walked by a woman, and she was like, "Oh, I'm totally attracted by that." I'm like, "By what?" And she reached her hand up under my armpit and put it under her nose and said, "That." You know, if you exude this chemical that's actually more attractive to the opposite sex or whatever your sexual preference may be, then actually the perfume that you spend hundreds of dollars on or the cologne that you spend hundreds of dollars on to attract them through chemicals, false chemicals, through synthetic chemicals. The natural chemical that's inside your body is actually more effective. And when you're in tune in, when you're in touch with it, you begin to attract people that you really want, because that may repel some people, some women, that repels them, but to the right woman, it attracted her.
That's powerful, Kev.
It is. It's a body nature. There's nature in everything. There's a level of consciousness in everything, which I can't get really deep into that because that's in the newsletter, but there's a nature of consciousness in everything. So you got to be totally conscious of whatever it is that you're doing in the here and now. Don't go into the past, because the past is history. It's never going to happen again. And expectations of the future, that's something that's yet to be written. Right here, right now, is what you need to be rooted in. and in relationships and life and consciousness and everything. You need to be rooted in the here and now. What's going on in the here and now? Because stuff is constantly getting wrecked as we speak over and over and over again. But you can't be Marty McFly. You can't go back to the future constantly over and over and over again. That's by living in the past. Being rooted in the past experience, yes, the past experience dictates how you go into the future. If you're constantly looking at the negatives of the past experiences and never seeing the positives, what is that going to tell you about what? How are you writing your future? The same way you just lived, because you're constantly, your energy is constantly on the negative of the past, never the positive. You did what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. Uh-huh.
You know? But I'm not perfect. I'm far from perfect. God's still working with me. If you know what I'm saying, I'm a working because even though that I might understand all of this, I don't walk in it. Not always. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I'm perfect. This is I'm learning this as I go on. This is not my testimony. Something that I did already. And came back to and telling you, no, I'm living this right now. I'm constantly walking this right now. I fall into depression over women, you know what I'm saying? Then I have to bring myself back. Hey, it took, I'm gonna get real naked right now. It took for my best friend and my business partner to laugh in my face in order for me to kill a relationship that was toxic to me. And I thank her for laughing in my face because I could have never buried it.
Yeah, it's difficult because love is not the easiest thing to fall into, but it's definitely the hardest thing to fall out of. You have to understand that, you know, when you give your heart to someone and your emotional ties to them, and then your soul ties, and if you're intimate, there's a lot of things that goes hand to hand with having a relationship. So when you're implementing all these different aspects of yourself into a relationship, the challenge is that you give everything you have. And I often talked about this in love relationships, at least in my past ones. I would give 110%. And then when they would be over, the hardest part was, you know, trying to find my way back to getting at least 60% of that 110 I then gave up, because now I'm in the deficit. So I talk about it often that we need to be mindful about giving more than we're willing to lose in any relationship. Relationships are beautiful, but we have to be modest in how much we give into them and understand that it's okay to love somebody, but to be praising someone else or putting something before your higher source, your power, your God. You put anybody, I don't care if it's your child, your relationship, your partner, whatever it is, significant other, whatever, if you put him or her over your source, your God, your spirituality, you will find that you are falling extremely short. So you want to make sure that that you add into that there is a beautiful way to instill a relationship that has beneficial things that's going on without you know, losing your whole self. That's a challenge, you know, to lose your whole self in a relationship. That's the challenge.
Yeah, there's a caller with a 999 coming right through.
Okay, well, 919.
Hello.
Hello, 919. Welcome to the show. How are you tonight?
What's up, Carla? I'm pretty good. Still hanging out. This is Brandon.
Hey, Brandon. How are you?
What's up? Not much. Feeling like a villain, you know, working on some stuff. Figured I'd call in and see what y'all had going on tonight. So the headline was something about who you love and who Who You Don't Love or something. What was that? What's the? I've been hearing some of y'all talking about dropping knowledge and everything.
Yeah, well, you know, we want to ask the question is, do you choose the person you love or do you choose the person that loves you? Now, we've had 2-1. We've had myself and Amy said we would choose the one that loves us, and the Kevin Smith said he would choose the one that he loves. So, Brandon, you're on. You just, which one you would choose?
Dang, that's a woo boy. Where to start? Let me think. I mean, okay, I guess it poses a situation. If I'm in love with two women, if I'm some lost boys. Okay, well, choose the one I love or the one that loves me. I mean, oh, that's a good one. I tell you, I mean, honestly, my first thought is I'm probably going to, okay, well, logically, my first thought is to go towards the one that loves me, I would think, mm-hmm. because, like, that person will be a bit more sincere. And, you know, how we be, and I'll say, how we are as human beings, you know, we sometimes tend to go after things that aren't good for us and stuff like that. So the girl that I love, I mean, she could probably be horrible for me. But, you know, sometimes we might get fascinated with the allure and, you know, everything else that come along with situations, depending on who the person is, so to speak. But, I mean, I would suppose the person who loves you, regardless, will be there more steadfastly and more trustworthy even than just the person that you love. If they don't love you much as much back, because I feel like, you know, if you love somebody else and they don't love you back, then that could be a fight that you'd be dealing with forever. If you got somebody that already love you, all you got to do is figure out how to love them right or whatnot, you know, whatever. They ain't going to go nowhere because they already like you. You ain't got to convince them. The other one, you still going to have to do a dance with or something like that. And then still figure out how to love them and everything to come along with just a general relationship. So if it'd be easy if you bit somebody that's already got this figured out. You know, she loves me enough that she'll stay with me while we figure this out. And I ain't have to worry about her wanting to look in and messing around and being confused in a free spirit, whatever that is.
That's definitely an upward battle because you're trying to figure out. You said, well, I don't know, do you love me or, you know. So the upward battle is, what do I do in this situation? Because now I have to determine, you know, if she's going to catch up to me or not. This way you already know, like you said, she's already in there like swimwear and you're good.
Right. But, see, okay, what I thought, when I posed with the question that you posed to me, who do you love or do you choose somebody? Okay, I thought the thing on Facebook, it said, who do you love? Okay, I was thinking let me rephrase what I'm saying. I was thinking that the question was asking, do we choose in generally who we love or do we choose who loves us? I mean, or do we choose, yes, who loves us, who we even accept and realize, acknowledge love from, even from the meaning, the person who loves us. Because sometimes we could be more focused on who we love and trying to be like them that we don't look at the people who love us. That's what I was thinking when you first said it. I had to create a situation for me to rationalize the two thoughts.
Well, you can elaborate on what you think. We'll listen to that version as well. What did you think about that?
I think, okay, something someone else said brought up the idea of nature and nurture. The things that we love, I think, when we start thinking about it, like if you were to make a list of things or whatnot, and think of my top 100 favorite things that I love, many things of this list would be composed between judgments and such you've made based on, okay, well, I would say your upbringing, the things that you see around you, and, like, of course, the media has played some role into it, whether the media supplies ideas that you take on or completely disregard any, or even anti, or become in opposition to. But things that you love, and then, you know, especially your family values and things like that create this also. But
right.
In terms of relationships, I think, well, as I said, because sometimes we look so much at things that we love, and even which can be prescribed notions from outside of ourselves so much. Some women might think they gotta have a man that's, they got blah 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 blah, or some men might think we could probably be only be singing the media's skinny white girl image, and then thinking that we'll be seeing the other girls around us, it's like, nah, I don't even see them, like, not even a person. There's not even a person there or something like that. But also, I would even say even more so, these media prescribed notions and ideas can also affect how we see ourselves in light of the other sex. I don't have the things that's on that the dick guy on TV has, so why the fuck is she going to talk to me kind of idea. Or, you know, women, media could definitely feed into our insecurities also. And some of these things, I mean, like, I can't even imagine a person could be, say, right now my top 100 favorite things that I love or something like that. And then the person, and then be like, nah, I ain't going to put that because what if John saw this? What if John saw that I actually like Justin Bieber? What? Like, no, or something like that. I mean, you know, who really likes Justin Bieber? Come on. But, and then thinking about things that we don't like, I feel like that the media prescribes that also. It focuses it. It affects it in different ways. I guess I'm just thinking about how much the media and outside forces define these things like this. On the outside thing, but how we as people define. If we choose what we do like, or if we choose what we don't like, I think that's what a lot of people, especially in relationships, things like that, we need to do a lot more self analysis and define what it is we do and don't like from relationships from these other people, so we know that what we're looking for. You can't go looking for it if you don't know what it is that you're looking for. And sometimes specificity doesn't hurt. I remember sometimes I see on TV shows, like back in the day, like dating shows or whatnot, and they would be saying, like, a girl be on there, like, yeah, I got a list of like 20 things I look for in a man, something like that. And they were like ridicule her and whatnot. But now at this point, I'm like, yo, better to have an idea. It's better to have something to start with than to not.
Right.
I've been digging into come on, at least you know where to look for that. At least you can juxtapose what you see out there with what you wrote down on your paper. I mean, you know, something, anything. I've dug into a little bit of creative visualization. You can't really go achieve your dream if you haven't defined what your dream looks like. It's necessary and it's effective too for us to define right now. I mean, even things in relationships that you do and don't like. I mean, top pet peeves, of course, but you know, likely an exercise like that would deeply then dive deeper from just pet peeves to like why it is that you don't like it when a person lies to you. Why is it really? Is it because they aren't communicating? Is it because it's a straight, disregard of trust? Is it disloyalty? Like, you know, now you feel like you don't know what the person is going to do even when you got your eyes on them in public or something. Like, you know, or cheating. What is cheating really? Because some people might have two different definitions of cheating and different ways it is going to affect them and everything like that. And people should do this individually, but also in a couple. I mean, these are conversations people should have. Seriously. Not just that I don't like cheaters or something, but why and everything like that. I mean, like back in the day, Bobby has, like, have you ever cheated on a girlfriend? And everybody say no. And like,
right.
Girl, they never cheated on a boyfriend. Like, girl, you lying. You know you lying. Like, especially at this point. I mean, I have it myself. But
some questions,
it's like,
no. There's questions you don't want to ask. There's some questions you don't want to ask in a relationship because you as a person don't want to know the answer. You know, like,
I say you should never ask about body count. It's like, yo, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
That's exactly what I'm
saying. It doesn't matter. Like, I don't care. As long as you clean, it don't matter.
You don't need to do all that. You know, you don't need to give all of your personal business. You know, some things I think you should. And you know, Kay Smith knows. I always tease him about this, but I say some stuff you should die with. Like, you know, some things you don't have to expose. You know what I'm saying? Just leave it alone.
Yeah, true indeed.
Just leave it alone. But I don't know that head counts and body counts is definitely beneficial to talk about in your relationship where, you know, when you're first talking about it, sometimes the knowledge can be detrimental because that knowledge is now used as a point of reference in the relationship. But you didn't have all those people. You know what I'm saying? And what does that mean? You know, are you a free spirit to the point where you're going to cheat on me? And now you planted the seed because you think, because all the numbers that you know, is now a bargain chip, if you will. And it shouldn't be that.
Mm.
You know, we need to keep our, you know, we can keep our stuff private. You're like, if your partner asks you that, you know, just be like, well, why are you asking me this? And how is this going to benefit our relationship? Because having that knowledge on top of what you know about you and I, is that really going to help or hurt the relationship? Because that knowledge could be like so detrimental, you know, and you want to have that.
It's like, why? It's like, because you bring to the point, it gets you to the point of asking, how is this information going to affect the relationship? You know, it's kind of like, how is it? Because first you think of how, and then the more you think about how it's going to affect, it's like, why should that even, if it affects it, yay or nay, why should it affect it? And it's like, it shouldn't affect it. Because it's in the past, and who knows what's going to happen moving forward. And honestly, I mean, I will say, you mentioned, you know, if a woman possibly, you know, first have a high body count. Honestly, even in my experience, I've been a bit, like, turned off from a woman when she said she had a low body count. Like, honestly, like, because then it's like, I mean, I've had some successful relationships and whatnot. So it's like, there's certain things that I ain't gonna have to teach the person that's been through that before. Other people is gonna be like, gosh, like, you know, it's just other times it shows a level of maturity because it's not just maintaining with one person, but then being able to maintain yourself through dealing with different people amidst different people.
I think that some of the best ways to advise who you've dated or whatever, you can say, I used to date that person. Dating that person doesn't necessarily mean you slept with them or not, but if you let them know that you had some outside people that were interested in you before them.
All right, though.
No, that's
right,
really
though.
All it is.
Dated.
You know,
dated
you
and all.
This is somebody I used to date. And that's it. You don't have to give them all the details about your bedroom business. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's not taking away from the intimacy. What it is doing, though, is it's keeping you and your relationship on something new. Now you're not bringing in that old energy from your past relationship.
True indeed, so true indeed. Cause, you know, I be thinking, like, I don't need to tell nobody's name. I be talking with some of my friends that worry about relationships and stuff, and they be like, why you always say some girl I used to date? Or why you always say, I'm like, why you need to know? Like, you ain't going to meet them again. But, I mean, you know, it's like certain things, if you want to have some a topic of conversation, then especially if it's something that either party can learn from. I mean, I usually don't mind stories like that as long as it's not telling so much information that, you know, it incites a bit of jealousy or something like that. Some security issues or whatnot that come up when you're thinking about that. But if a person can relate the story and, you know, especially to tell us a bit about themselves and, like, things that I don't like. My ex did this and I did not like it because this, that, certain news is, you know, that could actually be telling the other person about it. But, you know, or as you say, a woman or someone I used to date, just to get the idea. Because you know, with the level of sensitivity in music nowadays, like Drake, who knows if some of these people that people be talking about, they dated who, what it really was. It was dating, but y'all was sending Facebook messages, not even private messages, just comments.
Right. You're so.
We was dating though. Hey, what you mean? I had a moment there. I had a moment where every time she commented on my Facebook status, I just knew it. It was in between the wings. It was subtext. It was like so much. It was so much. I saw her on the park swing and everything. It was great. Through Facebook. Never seen a girl a day in my life. But, you know, love is awesome. Love is a very interesting thing. I mean, we always trying to figure out, I feel like we always trying to figure out the other side of the picture and everything, because we always are trying to figure out. I mean, one thing you said earlier about how it's so easy to fall into, but so hard to fall out of. Lord, sometimes one thing I've noticed. Sometimes, especially when we're talking about the things that we love and things like that, we gotta. Sometimes, and you're talking about feminine, masculine, feminine energies. I'm gonna try to see if I get back there. Talk about people that we love. Sometimes it'll be better to go with a person who loves you, because, as I said, they might probably see you. They've been seeing you for a long time. You know, thick and thin. They already love you as you are. As opposed to sometimes when we sometimes are attracted, as I said, to things that aren't good for us or in the long run, but it could be something that we are reaching for at that current moment to supplement something else, a different emotional state. And a different emotional state that a person might be in at that time. And love gets a bit messy with that, because sometimes a person could be, you know, we might could be looking at a person and judging this person for doing this, that, or third. Then it's like, you know, at the end of the day, a lot of times people got to let the person be themselves. Let the person be themselves and not, you know, thinking that, oh, this person is a this, that, and the third, especially, you know, inserting negative characteristics to hear. But instead of it being something so negative, it could just be that person had to be who they needed to be at that time for whatever reason. And their reasons are up to them. I'm saying this as most hurtful, why most times it's better to choose a person that loves you, because that person that you could be trying to love You know, you may not, that person that you are trying to send attention at, they could not be sending attention back at you because they got too much other stuff in your head going on with them. And, I mean.
Right.
I mean, well,
we're going to pull the next caller in. We have caller number 9873. Okay, so come on in, Jeffrey. How are you tonight?
I'm fine. I just dropped in to see what was going on up in this building in here. You know, I just got out of school. I had to come through and say hello to everybody. You know, I just came in to see what was going on. I'm going to listen for a minute, and then I'm going to drop off on y'all. And excuse me.
I'm so glad that you stopped by, Jeff. You know, we do know how hard you're working in school, and how is school going for you?
Fine. I got two more weeks of this 8-week accelerated course, and then I got three days out, and I go right back in. So, you know, it is what it is, working hard, doing what I have to do to get what I have to get and keeping moving. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's what's good. So what's the topic for today? Let me add my two cents to y'all little topic.
The topic, Jeff, is who do you choose? Do you choose the woman that loves you or the one you love? Who do you choose?
Well, you know.
And why?
Well, I'm just going to tell you this. I'm going to say it like this, but I'm going to answer it all in one big swap. I ain't choosing no woman. The woman gonna choose me. And when she chooses me, she got to know how to walk down this path to the perennial spring, because I'm special. And I know I'm special. So that she got to be worthy of my specialty. And she needs to be at that level where when I go inside her mind, she needs to be able to reciprocate that. And if she can't reciprocate that, she's not going to be there too long. She ain't going to last too long, because I'm going to burn her mind out. Okay? And that's a fact, because I'm going to fill her mind up with so much knowledge and make her mind emit so much light. And only thing she's going to be able to do is feel my vibration on the way out the door. So, did I answer your question?
You answered it.
I'm just being straight, raw, to the point. Ain't got time to play. You know what I'm saying? I consider on the pot, but I can't make her dump. I can take her to the glass of water, and I can't make her drink. You know what I'm saying?
Because it's like, you know, when I rap it to her, I'm sending her mind on all kind of frequencies and wavelengths and everything like that, that if her brain ain't experienced and trained to receive it all, then, you know, it ain't even going to be no daggone question of who I'm going to love or who going to love me anyway. So when the magic happens, the magic happens. And it'd be like a whole symphony or orchestra all at once. So then, you know, as you said, she's just going to feel your vibration as you walking out the door with her.
I'm gonna say it like this. You're coming to my space without a saddle that I can ride on. I'm gonna ride you right out of your skin. For real. You know what I'm saying? If your mind ain't open enough for me to knock on the door and you open it up and let me in, well then you ain't got nothing from the beginning. You know, because if you let me in your door, I'm gonna wax your flow. I'm going to wash the dishes, wash the wall, wash the cabinet, and debug your house.
Right,
and then I'm gonna put my brand on it. And if you can't handle my brand, you might as well get in your panties and put on your pants and your stockings and your high heel and get ready to jump in the sack, because I'm going to put you out on the curb.
Cause those real G's coming straight, no chasing. You know what I'm saying? If you need some ice, they don't even make this kind with ice. The ice don't even sit right with you. You don't want this for ice. You want it straight, no case, no chaser. And if it ain't for you, then it just ain't for you, and that's okay.
That's right.
But
I ain't into buying real estate.
You don't do this with ice. You don't do this with ice. Like, no. No.
Yep. No. I'll tell you in a minute. The market bad, and I ain't into real estate.
I see you though, Drew D. Bro, you ain't never lied on that one, man. Shoot.
That's
real.
These youngsters don't know what's happening. You know what I'm saying? They only want to do is get a blunt, get a bottle, go to my house, and wham bam, thank you, ma'am, it's all over. You know what I'm saying? Then you got baby spread all over the place. I ain't trying to do all that. I'm trying to get something to say, look, I need your paper and you need my paper. Let's put our paper together. Let's do something with that paper and let's grow.
And you know, I got my paper, you got your paper. How about we tell a story? You know, both us man and woman can fall asleep too. You know what I'm saying? Cause that's what it's really about. You know, I ain't just trying to just lay down. I'm trying to lay down, get back up, come back and lay down again. You know, but everybody else just want fast food. Like, I learned how to cook. Why you think I learned how to cook? I ain't want just fast food. It's good when you need it and whatnot, but I know how to cook. Can we go out? Like, I thought you supposed to take your man to Red Lobster. Like, you know what I'm saying? But if not, I know how to cook.
Yeah,
but
see, that's it. That shit work both ways. Now you want her to take you to Red Lobster, and she says she want to go to the 16th store in the high rise where everything costs $500. You know what I'm saying? You got to be willing to make an exchange too. You know what I'm saying? You got to have compromise there. You know that.
True indeed. It's all about, you know, as you said, reciprocation. You know, if you want her to, I mean, I want my woman to treat me like a king, so I definitely treat her like king, like a queen, probably first. Even, you know, that's just GP, just coming out.
If you want her to teach you, treat you like a king, you got to show her first that you can treat her like a queen.
Yes, bro. I feel, but you know, okay. What about it? How you swing it? You know what the real problems is. You know, some of us brothers, us people, we know that we supposed to treat the other person like the king.
The fact of the matter is we as black men have lost the art of chivalry and courting. You feel me?
Well.
I think it's
benefit, you know, the younger generation ain't know what it was. So then when people were still, you know, like the media does everything wrong in the world. But, you know, it came a time when I feel like chivalry was a bit looked over and looked down upon as something that was nerdy, you know, geeky, dorky. Who does that? You know, but. And so old school, they kept it going. And, you know, some of the new school, I said the cool kids picked it up. But mainstream consensus from the media is that it's still blah and everything. Oh, you thirsty. But even deeper than that, you know, us elevated and awakened ones, we see the opposite sex. And it's like, you know I'm supposed to treat her like a queen. She's singing. And, you know, a lot of people ain't used to seeing that. A lot of women, a lot of men ain't used to somebody treating them with respect, you know, and especially the utmost respect that comes from an elevated person, the person of an elevated mind. It's like, it's already, I know what I'm supposed to do, but I'm still trying to do better. I know how to love you like a queen. But what the problem comes in when we see this, other person and we, you know, we know that depth is there, but that other person doesn't wear it like they should.
Okay.
And, you know, it's like to a certain extent, we're always like, you know, I'm coming at you on God level. Girl, where you at? I know you got it. Your tattoos. I know you got it. So what's up with, you know, and sometimes you could think that, you know, maybe I was misjudging the person. Maybe they ain't got it. But then at the end of the day, so much of it comes down to interest. Some people just ain't interested. And
Ooh, that shit is real. But I mean, some people, it's like they got it in there, and then not even on some that they ain't interested. They don't even know that they're interested. They don't know that to a certain extent they ain't at the level to realize that this is what you should be interested in. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I say if a girl don't like me, then she don't like men. Cause I'm like, I'm that dude.
Could it be the fact that we as men haven't done our jobs to elevate our woman to the status that she needs to be able to walk with the black man?
To a certain extent, I mean.
No, it's all the extent because the simple fact is that if you want the woman to walk beside you and respect you, you got to teach her how to respect you. And the same reason why we are lacking today in our relationships because we are lost as men because we don't teach our women anything. We either downgrade them or disrespect them. And when we stop doing it and start teaching them, well, then the woman will follow suit and learn how to respect the man.
I feel you. And I mean, I do, because I will say, given especially the black community's history of slavery and racial oppression, I mean, everything
but
that came along with the separation of the man and the woman.
Yeah, you said that.
It had a big deal. It had a serious effect on it.
But we keep blaming slavery. That's the key word. We keep blaming slavery. When are we going to turn around long enough to stop and breathe and blame ourselves
for what's going on? Yeah, true indeed. I mean, I feel like both sides, I mean, as you said, the man has to teach the woman how to love. I mean, I'm not saying that we have to. You didn't say that we have to, quote it. But, you know, it's somewhat needed. It helps. If the man teaches the woman how to love the man. Because slavery and oppression has played its part in pushing a distance between the black man and the black woman. On one side, just men feeling like we have to teach our woman how to love us. I feel like that could hurt us. Listen to me.
The fact of the matter is this. You can't teach a woman nothing until you in tune with your masculine and feminine side. You can't teach a woman anything unless you in balance with your masculine and feminine side, period. Point blank. And most men in this arena are not in tune with them feminine and masculine side. And until you come in oneness with that feminine and masculine side, you can't teach a woman nothing.
I feel you. I heard some of my close female friends, they be like, oh, I love hugging you because I can feel so much Venus energy. I'm like, yes. We can't teach a woman, but a woman has to trust you.
You have to gain trust in order for you to teach anything to anybody. If your woman can trust you, you can teach her anything in the world. You gotta be able to come at the woman from her perspective. That's right.
You gotta be able to come at the woman from her perspective. Yes. Mm-hmm. True indeed. Yeah. True indeed. But we keep blaming
everything and everybody on our downfall, but then we have never turned around and looked at our faults of why we in these situations and why we don't have wholesome relationships, because everybody wants to blame slavery. Damn it, slavery was over 450 years ago. Step out of that arena. Step into your now, and when you step into your now and understand your now and walk from your now, well, then you will become a better person instead of trying to think about tomorrow. Why are you thinking about tomorrow? You might not wake up tomorrow. Think about your now. Get in your now and understand your own circuitry in your brain. Understand your own spirit. Understand your own vibration. You know, when you start doing that and start bringing your that woman will begin to understand you, and then you teach her, and you teach her to understand you, and don't be afraid to cry. Don't be afraid to lay on her shoulder. Don't be afraid to do none of that. Because when she feels you like that, then she can trust you like that.
Right.
Not a lot.
True indeed.
Boom.
True indeed.
Done. Okay. I'm
word
done.
Up. That's what's up. Respect, bro.
I'm done.
Respect. That's what's good.
You guys are bringing straight fire tonight, man. And I love the fact that, you know, this topic has been really one that I did not see coming, having so much intricate information regarding how people feel. You know, a lot of people have issues, take issue with love or the lack thereof, but for you guys to talk about the fact that, you know, everybody's experience is different. So we must have a difference of opinion, yet we definitely have a common denominator, understanding that love is just complex.
Yep, that's it.
Simple if you're with the right person.
That's right, yeah. I agree.
You know, both
with the right person.
I appreciate you guys so much. We've had a phenomenal show, man. We talked about who do you choose. Do you choose the one you love or the one that loves you? Brandon, you're always such a light to the show. You always bring your opinion and your energy, and it's so greatly appreciated. We have so much to get. And you know, Jeff, I'm so proud of you just going to school and doing what you're having to do and making the sacrifice, and it's greatly appreciated. You know, I just want to let you know it doesn't go unnoticed. So we're very proud of that as well. But, you know, tonight we just want to thank everyone who came to the show. And Poetic Conversations is shutting down, and we are off.
Yeah,
and
but you know what? You know what, Mystery? Mystery.
What's that?
The thing of it is, let me tell you what the problem is here. You see, I be knocking on your door, and I be recording it on my CD so it can go on replay, and you still ain't answer none of the rings, ain't none of the knocks, and I be willing to come in and wax your floors and wash your dishes and clean your shelves up, make your beds for you, make sure your glasses don't have water spots on it, and I even got it all wrote down in a notebook, and I left a big note on your icebox with one of them ladybug magnets, and you still ain't after my request. So you know what I'm saying? So I guess I'm gonna have to just come over and just sit you down and tell you how I'm gonna take it.
Let him know.
Well, I appreciate you so much, Jeff. You always try to be a little, you make me laugh all the time. I'm so greatly appreciated. You know, you're such a charmer. We love you, and everybody has a great night. One love.
All right.
It's funny to me that it seems to be heirs to the throne that are there for the taking, as simply shaking at the sight of the crown, head down forever in a frown, yet their happiness is swimming in complacency, anxiously awaiting the day that the kingdom will be under their rule, yet they just drool, salivate at the simple state of their ambition. But it's funny to me that instead of kings and queens that I'm awaiting to see, I'm just one joker away from having nailed the book. They seem shook at the mention of royalty, yet vocally they speak with such drive, yet in my eyes, they're just acting on reactions from a reenactment of a legend that should say that the reenactor has them bowing before the crown. Yet what's even more foul is that their inheritance is being embellished for public acceptance. It's funny to me. The thoughts upon me of simple pawns of the queen are sent to different places to only be taken off the board from a world where everything was black and white. But all they can do is write and watch the ink dry. Yet I'm wondering why these phenomenal poetic animals rather settle for the stool instead of a throne. It's funny to me. It has me pondering.